They're right above, but they're right. We haven't seen.
Well, now, Dick, I want you to take a little survey for me and call me back the middle of the week. I'm reading now. I've got New York and Los Angeles. I'm reading from Los Angeles. This is from a labor man.
Yeah.
He is a head of the Political Action Committee.
Yeah.
Political director. He said, look at the enclosed chart showing registration trends in the lobby of our own building. Republican registration has increased from 3.6% before the GOP convention to a high of 23.9%, a gain of 20%. I have talked to the business agents whose daily contact with rank and filers confirm this. I am afraid the swing is a severe one and that unchecked it will seriously reduce the Democrats' vote. Our registrars tell us that these labor people who are registering Republican are definitely planning to vote for Goldwater, although some of them sheepishly explain they are voting for the party rather than a man. In Democratic registrants, she reports much less conviction, with a goodly number of them indicating their minds are not quite made up yet across the board. I'm not well enough informed to report on areas outside California, but I did talk to some labor officials this week from the East who had contacted some 200 individuals on construction jobs in eastern Washington and Montana. They convinced that a majority of these union members plan to vote for Goldwater. He says their position is based entirely on civil rights, fear of the loss of their job to a Negro. One thing I'm certain, sadly certain, we are not going to convert these members of labor to an enlightened viewpoint on civil rights by November. Some other method must be found to deprive the GOP of their votes. I think this is the one that can work. Goldwater must be clearly, starkly, and once and for all identified as the enemy of every union man. Senate Bill 87, Goldwater's right to work bill, presently alive in the committee, must now become infamous to the rank and file, and the rank and filers must be aware that he has never voted right on a single piece of labor legislation since he came to Congress, that he opposes every labor bill. Here in California, much yardage can be made through rekindling the spirit of 58, the right to work bill, by identifying it as Goldwater with the right to work Nolan, his chief advisor. I think Medicare and the war on poverty, something we also ought to play up. Then it goes on. But the chart shows that the Democratic registration has gone from seventh month, from the sixth day to the tenth day, Democratic, we had 91%. Then it goes to 91.5 on the 13th to 17th day. Then from the 20th to the 24th, it has a huge drop to 77 following that convention. Then 27th to 31st of the month, it dropped down. That's just down to July. That 69. Now it's going back a little to 71. Now the Republican registration was 5.1. You might just put a pencil there if you've got it. Just put that chart. That's on the 6th of July. It goes down to 3.6 on the 13th to the 17th. Then it takes a sharp turn up to 19 on the 20th to the 24th. Then it goes to 23.9 on the 27th. So it goes from 3 to 23 between the 17th and the 31st, 14 days, 2 weeks. That is when we had a good many of these race riots, and that's when it gave us a good deal of trouble. Then it drops down from 23.9 to 24 to 20. Now, this is a very trusted and very effective labor man. I'd just like for you to check that. Now back to you and give me a ring in the middle of the week. See if, let's confirm it. Let's see. What does this Chicago Sun-Times poll, is any significance in that? Did it show anything we need to know?
Well, it showed that the tremendous support you would receive in the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
And then they tried, because they're interested in Percy, to show some deflection in some of our outlying wards, especially among the nationalistic groups.
Mm.
But this is trying to manufacture the idea.
Yeah.
We had a meeting here a couple of weeks ago, the executive committee of the AFL Council. We had all the building trades, the people you're talking about. We've never had the solidarity of the leaders in the building trades in Chicago that we have in this campaign, even in 60. And this includes Bill Lee and Bill McFetridge and Earl McMahon and Steve Bailey and Cronin and the bricklayers, Joyce and the whole outfit, all the way down to the engineers.
You don't think that the average worker, A, is scared the Negro is going to get his job, or B, going to move next door?
In my opinion, the first one, no, because fortunately we have had, although we'd like to improve it, we haven't had too much unemployment. We've had it among the low, unskilled fellas, but we have been bringing into the skilled building trade Negro members, and this they appreciate very much. Now, the second thing is entirely different. The question of someone moving into the community, we've had that not now in 64, we've had it for the last 8 or 10 years all over the country. But I think that what is happening is we had a conference out here a year ago on race and religion, and the religious leaders all over our city and the religious leaders all over the county are trying to alert people to the fact that this isn't the time to run, or it isn't the time. See, we used to get a tremendous anti-vote in the suburbs, and people didn't know why it was happening. Well, I knew why it was happening, because these were people that were moved from sections of our city and had to go out into the suburbs to get away from this thing. But I really believe that when it comes to the actual vote in November, they'll be more concerned first about the peace. They'll be concerned about the prosperity. They'll be concerned about the future.
Did you get any reaction to my exchange with him when he tried to say we were using nuclear weapons and lie, and I had to bread that? Was that good or bad?
Oh, that was tremendous on your part.
And I thought I had to on nuclear weapons. I don't think as a policy the president ought to ever be messing with him or answering him. But when he said we authorize nuclear weapons and we specifically prohibit them, I thought we ought to show that he was a faker and a liar.
That was devastating. And everyone picked it up, including everyone out here. We were to a large affair last night, and they were all talking about it, talking about your very concise and brief but very direct answer, which had to be answered.
Now, here's a little thing apropos of what you're saying. I've been trying to get out, put out, and your Commonwealth Edison man told me he'd spend $100 million, and he claims he has, but this is a summary in the Philadelphia Inquirer on Sunday. The boom in corporations' capital spending is stepping up. Big outlays for new plant equipment announced last week by companies in metals, chemicals, utilities, and other fields. The accelerated spending was attributed to benefits from the administration's income tax cut and good business in general. Reynolds Metal announced a $140 million program of plant addition. Bethlehem Steel announced $350 million. Revere Copper and Brass plans to enlarge substantially its aluminum foil. Commonwealth Edison Chicago is building high-voltage transmission lines that cost more than $90 million. Kaiser Steel is undertaking $119 million. Union Bag Camp Paper, $106 million. Monsanto has doubled production of Biosimol, a chemical used in the production of polycarbonate at St. Louis. American Gas Association will spend $7.2 billion on construction in the next 3 years. In 64 alone...
Well, that's fine, but what I'd like to see them is start some of these things.
Spending on...
Not spending now, between now and November, or at least putting a hole in the ground to show that the things are moving. You know, these announcements are wonderful, and they are, but I don't see the real action behind the announcements.
Well, now here's what he says. Steel mills operated last week at the fastest pace, turning out 2.3 million tons of steel, a gain of 1.3% over the preceding week. Steel men said they believe the summer slump was much milder than usual, already reached its low point on the uptake again. Output for the first 7 months totaled 71, so forth. Patton of the Steel Institute predicted 64 steel production would approach a record high of 120 million tons. Production of cars picked up again this week, an estimated 20 million. This compares with 12 a year ago. 12 compared to 20,000 units this week compared to 12 a year ago. Calendar year output total 5 million against 4.7 million in the like period. The estimated production 64 model will now run 7,900,000, the highest ever. The Department of Commerce reported 21 billion a gain over June in retail sales. And then he goes into that. Bread prices rose by 1 to 2 cents in some cities, including Chicago, Kansas City, and so forth. Now, I've got them in. I've had nearly 1,000 of them, business people, and every one of them I stress to them, please take this now and go back and put the jobs to work. AT&T promised me 20,000. They reported last week they'd give me 22 Good. In new jobs.
Good.
Now,
that's the thing,
I don't know. I'm trying to shove them, and I'll continue. I think that's a very good point, and I'll continue to try to do that, and I'll continue.
Well, they should do it, too, after what you did for them. After all, it was intended that the reduction in the tax would create an increase in the economy so that the tax wouldn't find itself a detriment or reduction to the people of America. Now, if they don't go ahead with their part of the deal and do this as fast as they can to help you, well, then...
They think that they're doing it, and I'll get my council economic advisors to give me a report this week. I think that you'll find that this third quarter will show the maximum benefit from the tax bill. The first quarter we had to pass it. The second quarter we had to get it in operation and get the boards to act on it. The third quarter you'll be letting contracts.
I hope so.
Now, one other thing. We're going to have a good convention. We got one problem on the freedom thing. I can't find the answer to it. I wish you'd give a lot of thought to it and not just think about it from your standpoint, but think about it from
remember this, there's some people with this issue trying to create something in our convention that will be detrimental, and it has to be all the way thrown all the way through. I don't believe that anyone should be in any convention that will not abide by the majority of the convention. I don't think this is good practice in a convention. I don't think it's good politics that people would come in and sit in the convention and participate and then not support the nominee of the convention. I could never see that. I realize in some sections they feel they can do it. Now, the next thing is, if you sit delegates that will not pledge themselves to support our candidate when we come out with them, how will you ever have a convention? Now, in my opinion, certainly there has to be, if it isn't already, a pledge from the people, if they want to be seated, that they will support the candidate that comes out of our convention. And any other policy, I think, would be just disastrous. Now, in addition to it, there's a lot of these people up here in all the East and Middle West and all this, all over the country, California, trying to make a test to get away from the San Francisco thing and see what we're going to do with the Mississippi delegation, especially in the light of what's happening in Mississippi. And that's why this isn't as you said, it isn't too easy a question, but this is the one we can't make a mistake on. Because if we make a mistake on this one, we erase everything that happened in San Francisco, and we make ourselves look pretty foolish, especially in the light of everything we've been saying and what we've been doing.
Well, now, what we've got a very practical question there of one state, Alabama, that is asking to be seated, who has got electors that are independent and will not be pledged to the Democratic nominee. They have refused to do that. I think that the votes in Alabama are probably 80% to Goldwater, 10% Johnson, 10% undecided.
I'd be damned if I'd speak to
them. Now,
I go back to 48. You remember 48 in Philadelphia? We all thought we were going to lose it. Harry Truman said, well, if that's what they want to do, let them do it.
Now, the second thing is, Mississippi. Mississippi has got electors. We wrote them a letter after what happened in Alabama, told them the Humphrey battle rule that they put in, that you had to put the electors on the ticket and so forth. They wrote back and said they would. Now,
that's no good unless they'll support it. You could put any electors on it, then they're going to turn their whole organization against you.
Well, that's all the rule requires. There's no rule that says that every individual in there has to go out and vote that way.
No, but the delegation, the leaders of the state should surely have some concept of, if they're Democrats and if they're participating in the Democratic Convention, and we believe in the convention system of the majority rule, surely they should be bound. Surely they should be.